Everyone, welcome to Villa Together, the full 90 podcast with myself, Chris Ellis and Ian Gillett, and to discuss the aftermath of Aston Villa 0, Leeds United 3. So Ian, how are we doing today?
It's a total new experience this, isn't it, Chris, having to review a game after losing and it's our first one on the full 90 after four wins on the bounce. I think it's really sort of sensible that we don't get too down after a result like that. I thought the game was really open. I think it's how we react now in terms of when we come back and face Southampton a week on Sunday. Make sure that we don't let this affect us long term, and it's just a sort of short term setback. How are you feeling after it?
Yeah, disappointed. I mean, my overriding feeling is, you know, disappointment. Obviously, when you've got to kind of look at the positives. There aren't many to take from that game, but look at the positives overall. Four wins from five. I think if you looked at those five, the first five fixtures of the season, and if you'd have said four wins from that, you'd have snapped your hands off, obviously, with the Liverpool, Leeds, the L's, Liverpool, Leeds and Leicester being three tough games. So it's one of them, you know, it was like before today, trying not to get carried away with winning from four from four and obviously coming into a game with the potential to go five from five. At the same time, not trying not to get too low with a kind of a poor defeat. Just going to go through some statistics. We had 40% possession, Leeds United 60. Total shots, absolute domination from Leeds. We had 12 overall, they had 27. We had four on target, they had nine on target. 17 fouls from Leeds to our 14. Interestingly, we had three big chances, all of which that we missed. They had two big chances, obviously. Two of them that they scored. Bamford kind of creating stuff out of nothing. Passes, 287 passes we made with a 70% accuracy. Leeds, 427 passes made. 351 completed, which is 82% passing accuracy. They attempted and completed more long balls, more crosses. In terms of dribbles, we had more, which I suppose kind of reflects the game overall, in all fairness, the kind of style of play. They were, in all fairness, it's something that that a lot of managers have said, that the kind of the ball moved faster than you. And for as good as we've got some good ball carriers, you know, teams like Leeds, a big part of their play is the getting the ball forward and getting it forward quickly. And, you know, that's how they got a lot of their goals. It was a quick counter-attacking play, and we didn't particularly really do that, in all fairness. One thing that kind of stands out for me is when you look at the positional play from our passes, 42% of our play went down the left-hand side, our left-hand side, 30% through the middle, 28% down the right. I mean, you are going to see that, the 42% down the left-hand side. But I just feel that you come up against a team like Leeds United, we know that Bielsa is very intricate with everything that he does. And we know when he showed it two seasons ago, when he brings out a big report, a big dossier on each team after the Spygate scandal and all that kind of stuff, they're going to know. And, you know, you don't have to be a kind of a genius to work out that Jack Grealish is our main man, but I just felt that bringing in the likes of Barkley, having McGinn come back as well, that it kind of took the idea, obviously, to take the, you know, that pressure off Jack. I still felt like a lot of our play went down there. I think that would have, you know, kind of played in Leeds' hands, in all fairness. They want the ball to go to him because they're just gonna snap him, kick him up in the air as much as they could do. I think, in all fairness, Jack had a pretty poor game. By any standards, in all fairness, not just his high standards. Our overall play, Ross Barkley, out of our players, other than Martinez. So when you look at outfield players, yeah, he shared the most amount of touches along with Jack Grealish. He had four key passes during the game, 75% passing accuracy. And then Ollie Watkins, two key passes. Then you're looking at Mings, Luiz, Trezeguet, Grealish, one key pass each. And obviously these guys are making those passes just in and around the box. Just feel like we just lack that impetus in the first half, moving the ball a bit quicker, realistically. It's just really disappointing. I think at the same time, we can kind of pick holes in our performance, which we should do, because at the same time, we were poor. Leeds executed their game plan brilliantly, I think, in all fairness. Like you've said, start of the game, and obviously at half-time, it was very even. They probably had more chances, but in terms of clear-cut chances, they didn't really have anything, did they, in all fairness? And then the second half, it was almost like we felt that we could have got at them, and, you know, that chance that Grealish had, it was, and we said before we recorded, very similar to that goal he scored for Rotherham, against Rotherham, first season in the Championship. And, you know, fair play to the keeper. He didn't commit himself, whereas a lot of defenders did. And there's an argument that he could have played it off to Watkins. But, you know, when you've done all that kind of work, you know what it's like playing football. You kind of beat a few men and your kind of confidence grows with each touch of the ball. And I think, you know, a player of his quality, you'd have expected him to potentially have put it in the back of the net. There's a few, I think, you know, things like missing the big chances that we did have. Grealish had the one cleared off the line. You know, Konza's chance was a decent one. You know, set pieces let us down. And Leeds just absolutely smashed us on the counter. It was constant overload down their left, down their right. You know, tough for target, which it has been for a number of weeks because, you know, Jack doesn't get back as much as you should do. I don't think it's necessarily the tactics. I think it's, well, I don't think it's necessarily him. I think more so the tactics because he's our outball. I think on the right side as well, Cash was exposed a bit more than usual. In all fairness, he dealt with them relatively well throughout the game. But it was certainly disappointing. So, what are your thoughts on the game? Obviously, disappointing defeat.
Yeah, it's a tough one to take, isn't it? After such a fantastic start, I agree totally with you. Those overloads down both flanks for Leeds, either side, we were very much 2-on-1 with Target and Cash each time. Cash did superbly well in the first half to restrict Harrison. I think it showed over the course of the 90 minutes that if you do not work as hard as Leeds and you don't match that intensity, they're going to create the chances and they're going to put them away. Percentages tell in the end, don't they? It's difficult because we had that Grealish chance just before they scored, and then we had the corner just after the Grealish chance where Ezri Konsa did really well to get in front of his man and get the touch on it and a good save. Anywhere else, sort of, apart from the middle of the goal, it's probably a goal, isn't it? It's such a difficult one to take. I think if you take one of those chances and make it 1-0, then it's a totally different game because we can sort of set our shape up. Leeds then have to come at us, which probably works for our favour with the likes of Grealish, Watkins and Trezeguet on the break. But no, I can't really have any sort of qualms with the game. I thought Leeds fully deserved the 3 points. Lisa is a really clever manager and you saw that straight away with Strike. Or however you pronounce it, he got the yellow card early on. He probably could have had another one straight away.
Yeah.
But then he gets him off the pitch. He gets him out the firing zone, and he swaps it up really quickly. He doesn't dwell on it, and it was a sort of really good logical decision by him. And that's why he's so clever. He just ticks like that. He's always thinking. He knows the next sort of move in the game. It's like a chess game with him, isn't it? But I think we just have to react now. It's all about how we react. Last season, I think once we did have a defeat, we let ourselves dwell on it a little bit. And that sort of then went on a roll of 1 or 2 or 3. Whereas if you look at what the good teams do in this league, they bounce back after a heavy defeat or after a sort of a result that you haven't really worked hard enough in to get anything out of the game. You have to bounce back the next game. You have to work hard. The intensity has to be there. Everybody has to be on it from minute one. I thought we gave Leeds a lot of respect early in this game today, and they set out their stall really quickly. And like you say, that intensity, the way they move the ball in the transitions, quickly through the middle, quickly out to the wings, and it's the first time delivery that they're looking for. Bamford could have had two or three in the first half if he had his shooting boots on. But yeah, it's a difficult one to take, but how we react is now the most important thing. And I think we haven't got to dwell on it. We've just got to get ourselves in a positive mind frame. We've got 4 out of 5 games. We're on 12 points. We're sitting second in the league. Be interesting to see how the results go this weekend and see how that affects our positioning. But yeah, we've got Southampton next. It's a game where you think we should be getting something out of it. Southampton are a decent side on their day and they will cause us problems. And I think it will be sort of a similar game to today's with Leeds, where both teams are attacking each other quickly and it's quite open. So yeah, it'll be interesting to see what happens now. It's all about the reaction for me.
Yeah, 100%. It's like you said about last season, I think at times when you could kind of see as well, especially as the season went on and it almost seemed like we were getting closer and closer to the drop. With every defeat, it seemed to knock them a bit more. I mean, it works the same, doesn't it? With every victory, your confidence goes up. I kind of felt that the second half today, whether there was a bit of kind of naivety crept in. And I felt like we were almost... It kind of gave me impressions like from last season. It was, you know, having conceding that many shots against us. And the kind of, I think the game plan certainly went out the window in the second half. It was almost like let's get more of the ball, let's get at them. And by doing that, we just allowed more them to have more of the ball. But it's a disappointing defeat. You know, and exactly as you said, we need to bounce back against Southampton. It's a game that we can win. Especially being at home, it's a game that, you know, realistically we should be getting 3 points. If we want to be kind of, what we want to do is get the points on the board early, and then we get to a point where, you know, it looks like we're not going to go down, and then we can build on that really. We always said stay up 17th last season. We did that and then build on it, and we started to do that this season. We just don't want to kind of get carried away with, obviously before today, get carried away, but also now not kind of allow the negativity to creep in and think, oh yeah, we're rubbish, you know, we lost against Leeds. Leeds have started relatively well. They did well. They got points against Man City. They ran Liverpool close. I know they, you know, it was, they lost 4-3. It wasn't like a 7-2. But yeah, disappointing. I mean, I think fair play to Leeds that they just absolutely battered us, in all fairness. It could have been a lot more. Hopefully it's a bit of an eye opener. I think from the start early on, you could see Mings and Konsa looked a bit shaky. And I just, knowing Smith, he's going to try and put things right in the next week. We've got 9 days until the Southampton game. Put things right, and then hopefully we'll kind of go into that game with, you know, no major tweaks needed, but a few slight tweaks. Get the lads, you know, playing together more. Again, we've got, you know, Martinez, Watkins, Barkley, Cash, you know, in that starting 11. They're all new players, so again, it's going to take time. I mean, it's a tough one because I don't think anyone particularly played well. But if you were to pick a man of the match, or, you know, we don't go that far, as in who would you say kind of was our best player on the night tonight?
For me tonight, I'd say Douglas Luiz, particularly the first half. I thought he did really well. He got some key blocks in and some sort of key interceptions as well. I thought he had a generally good game throughout. I think the second half, the more the game went on and it got stretched after they took the lead, we were obviously trying to get back in the game. He got a bit outnumbered in that middle ground and they were finding easy passes in the triangles around him. But first half particularly, he was outstanding. And he was sort of getting those vital interceptions in and setting us on the counter-attack. Cash, again, had a very good game. I thought he was sort of caught 2-on-1 every time. And he got some major sort of blocks in, some slide tackles in on Harrison, who I think is their best player, their most attacking player and their biggest threat. And then apart from that, I thought... Grealish does so much going forward. He commits so much energy in those runs where he takes the pressure off you and he literally takes the ball from your half to their sort of final third, that he's expanding a lot of energy in that. And then it's hard to ask him to get back and double up with Target, isn't it? Especially against a team like Leeds, who play similar to us in terms of they like to get it out to the wingers and sort of commit those overloads. But yeah, it's a difficult one for me. Douglas Luiz was my man of the match in terms of Villa. But yeah, it's just tough to take. Horrible result for us, but it's been a great start to the season. So I argue Douglas Luiz.
Yeah, I think the two players, you mentioned both of them, who probably had it's a tough one. How would you say it's not standout games, but were better than the others? Probably, you know, Luiz and Watkins. I think Luiz carried on doing what he did last season, keeps the ball moving. It's kind of that intelligence as well, isn't it? Knowing when to keep the ball, when to play it, winning those little free kicks, you know, did well. Cash, in all fairness, in the first half, I think he made the most tackles in this game. First half, he did well, especially when, you know, he was getting the overloads were coming against him. In the second half, it just got too much for him, I think, in all fairness, because they were consistent. And I think, you know, if you have to deal with that time and time again, it's tough. So yeah, I'd agree with you on that one. I'm just going to fire a stat at you. This player, Aston Villa player, won 8 aerial duels during this game. Who do you think that was?
I'm going to say either Grealish or... Is it either Grealish or Target?
No, Target was second with 3. So this person won 5 more than Target. It wasn't Jack Grealish.
Oh,
it was Ollie Watkins.
Ollie Watkins.
Tough one for him. I think we mentioned him kind of last week, was a bit quiet. I mean, games, especially like today, it's going to be tough for a striker like that, isn't it? I mean, what are your kind of thoughts on his performance? What, I suppose, kind of looking for a striker that's come up from a championship, I think, you know that they're not necessarily going to settle straight away. And in games like today, which are going to be tough, what kind of good things did you kind of see from him?
Oh, I think he should have come away with a goal right at the end. He had that really good opportunity, make it 3-1, just put it past the far post. Any other day, he puts that away, doesn't he? I think you saw in his reaction, he was really disappointed that he didn't score. And it would have been a nice consolation goal to keep that goal difference looking nice and shiny. He's always going to struggle because they had a lot of possession. I think he looked at it in the first half, they had 60% possession to our 40%. So it means they are playing the ball around in that middle ground. We are doing a lot of the chasing. I think when we did get into that final third today, our decision-making wasn't that great. Like a lot of people pointed out, Grealish on that epic run that he went on, he could have probably passed it to Watkins in a better scoring position. But once you're on that run and the momentum's with you and player after player keep committing themselves and going down and it's opening up. Like you said earlier, I think Grealish just goes for it, doesn't he? Because his balance and his body composition is really difficult then to get a pass away because he's constantly sort of faking the shot. And then to get a decent pass away would have been difficult when he's in that momentum. It was a quiet game for Watkins, but like you say, he's won those aerial duels. He's putting himself up, he's defending from the front, like we've mentioned in the previous 4 games. He's always offering. He's not shy to come and short, offer for the ball to feet and hold his man off. He'll go in behind the defender as well. I think some of the decision-making cost us today for him to get into better scoring positions.
Yeah.
But I think he's going to score goals for us throughout the season. You just look at that chance at the end and the position he took up, and he will get goals for us. So I have utmost confidence in him. But yeah, like you say, it's a tough one for him today. I think he'll be disappointed he still hasn't come away with a goal. But yeah, it's just making better decisions in the final third to play him in. But it's a tough one because it's such a difficult game. Leeds were fast and furious, out of the blocks really early. They set the tone and we were doing a lot of the chasing. So probably not best for a Villa striker in a situation like that.
Yeah, I think, you know, we've had strikers over the years, haven't we, that have been, you know, I'll use Samatta as kind of the most recent example. He kind of maybe shied away from things a bit fairly often. And I think there were times when he didn't really offer a lot. But with Watkins, you know, he offers a decent amount each game, even if it's not always getting goals. In terms of touches, 6th most touches for us with 42, more than Target, McGinn, Mings, Ezri Konsa and Trezeguet. So, you know, in terms of an attacking output, that's relatively decent, middle of the park. And sometimes there are strikers who just don't get the ball. Obviously, like, you know, with the aerial duels that he won, you know, obviously that shows the kind of what he offers. So it's going to be interesting. It's just one of them. Just I always kind of keep my eye out on him. Obviously, we've signed Traore, and he's an attacking player that we bought to, in all fairness, to give us a different option going forward. Notably, he came off in the 65th minute. Obviously, a big part of his game is the kind of the work rate. He came off in the 65th minute with 1-0. You know, within 2 minutes, Bamford's making it 2-0. And then 7 minutes later, he's making it 3-0. Do you think that kind of substitution did make a bit of a difference in terms of the kind of overloads down Matty Cash's side?
No, not for me. I think both of Bamford's second and third goals were... It's one of those, he's in the box, so a defender doesn't want to commit themselves. I think particularly the second one, there's about... four Villa players around him. I think Target could get a challenge in. I think Mings could do better. But like I just mentioned, they don't want to put the foot in. I think he had the VAR decision as well, where you look at how he's thrown himself down. And Grealish does it for us, where if a sort of foot comes in now in the box, players, nine times out of ten, if they nick it away in the attacking third, they're going to go down. So it's so difficult to make that decision. But in terms of Trezeguet's work rate since sort of lockdown has been second to none, and again throughout the first half it was brilliant, but I don't think the Traore coming on at 65th minute had anything to do with that second and third goal, if I'm honest. It's a tough one to come on in that situation, because we are going to be chasing the game and you have got to work hard, because they are going to break on the counter every time that you try and get back into sort of a scoring position to equalise. They are going to be breaking fast to catch us. But I don't think he did too much wrong when he came on in terms of his commitment and his all-round game. Probably didn't get as many touches as he would have liked. But that was the situation he found himself in and the direction of the game at that time. But yeah, it is tough, because, like you say, you have to work hard against a team like Leeds. You know they're not going to stop running for 90-plus minutes. The fittest team in the league. So it's difficult. And with those overloads they had every time, you're going to get found out if you don't track back. But when you're chasing a game, it's easier said than done, isn't it? Because you want them to be doing the business and committing the most energy in that final third, the likes of Grealish, and Traore and Watkins. So sort of bringing them on, maybe not tracking back. I think a few players, especially that sort of first goal, where when it fell to Bamford, I think the cross comes in from Harrison when the ball goes through. But there's a few Villa players in that middle ground, McGinn, Barkley particular, that sort of, they look to see where their man, they see him moving early, but they don't commit themselves to the run to sort of take him out either and get back. And then it's too late by the time they have done it. It's one of those, isn't it? You think, well, is my fullback going to nick it away and I'm going to be on a counter-attack? So do I half commit myself to making sort of the effort to track the man back coming through the middle? Yep. But that is the beauty of Leeds, and they do it so well that they commit men forward. But when they do lose the ball, they all work back tremendously hard to make it hard for us in an attacking sense. But yeah, it's a difficult one. Trezeguet's work rate has been phenomenal since lockdown, and it'll be interesting to see what sort of Smith does now going forward for the Southampton game. Will he make a few changes? Will he try and freshen it up, or will he sort of stick with that winning formula from the four games previous and try and let the players have another opportunity to put it right? What do you think?
Yeah, I think, you know, we mentioned it earlier about making sure that we bounce back. I think when you look at our team now, it does pick itself, and you know, obviously it kind of has done all of this season. So it'd be interesting to see. There's no one instantly that I think could probably come in there, in all fairness. But you never know what decisions he kind of makes. I mean, that's the first Premier League game we've lost since the Man United game. We lost 3-0 back in the last season. So looking at Premier League games. That was our first defeat in 9 games, going back to the back end of last season. So it's not too bad. You know, we've got to make sure that the fan base, we don't get carried away with a defeat, and that we kind of stick with the boys, really. And obviously, it's important for the team, you know, Dean Smith, to keep the team going, and that we kind of, you know, make a few tweaks if need be. You know, hopefully it's a bit of a kind of eye-opener for them, thinking, oh, you know, we've won 4 games, let's not get carried away. So hopefully it'll work both ways, but I think, you know, certainly there's got to be some improvements coming into the next games down at Southampton. If we bounce back, then happy days. You know, we could still, depending on how results go over the next 2 weeks, we could still find ourselves, you know, top 2 in the league, you know, which is great. We'll kind of milk it as much as we can. But yeah, so we'll look forward to that game in 9 days' time. But yeah, obviously, Aston Villa 0, Leeds United 3. Disappointing day at the office, but you know, and it's very odd for us, isn't it, doing a 490 podcast where there's disappointment, because obviously the first 3 games has been fantastic, hasn't it? But hopefully we'll bounce back and we can have a more enjoyable one, can't we, against Southampton? But as always, massive thanks, Ian.
Yeah, it's a pleasure. It's such a shame. I had a special little piece of introductory writing about October 2001 when Juan Pablo Angel and Darius Vassell scored in those goals against Bolton to make it 3-2 and we went top of the league. But it wasn't to be. 5 on the bounce wasn't to be. And it's such a shame. But like you say, it's been a fantastic start to the season. Anyone in their right mind would have taken 4 out of 5. It's just how we bounce back now. Stay positive, Villa fans, and let's see what we can muster against Southampton and get back to winning ways with a positive performance.
And I realised earlier, the silver lining is that I've still got Patrick Bamford in my fantasy team, and he started up front for me, so, you know, got extra points, so that's not too bad. But yeah, we'll be back, 490 podcast, obviously after the Southampton game, and I look forward to then, where we can talk more about Villa together. Thank you very much.